Good morning. Welcome to Springs Mennonite Church on this day where we've got new snow, making it really bright for anyone that's up here and looking out, because you look out and then you get blinded and then you look down and you can't read. So can I have the ushers close those middle doors, please? And we'll see whether I can do this. You know what? There's matches up here. I can do those. Maybe. As we celebrate the lighting of the peace lamp, listen to these words from Henry Nouwen. It's entitled, Our Candle in the Dark. Listening to the voice of love requires that we direct our minds and hearts toward that voice with all our attention. How can we do that? The most fruitful way, in my experience, is to take a simple prayer, a sentence, or a word, and slowly repeat it. We can use the Lord's Prayer, the name of Jesus, or any word that reminds us of God's love and put it in the center of our inner room, like a candle in a dark space. Obviously, we will be constantly distracted. We will think about what happened yesterday or what will happen tomorrow. We will have long, imaginary discussions with our friends or enemies. We will plan our next day, prepare our upcoming talk, or organize our next meeting. Still, as long as we keep the candle in our dark room burning, we can return to that light and see clearly the presence of the one who offers us what we most desire. This is not always a satisfying experience. Often we are so restless and so unable to find inner quietude that we cannot wait to get busy again, thus avoiding the confrontation with the chaotic state of our minds and hearts. Still, when we remain faithful to our discipline, even if it's only 10 minutes a day, we gradually come to see, by the candlelight of our prayers, that there is a space within us where God dwells and where we are invited to dwell with God. Once we come to know that inner holy place, a place more beautiful and precious than any place we can travel to, we want to be there and be spiritually fed. Let us pray. Holy Father, Lord of all hopelessness, awaken us. Show us the meaning in our toil that we may ever rejoice in the promise of the seeds we sow. Lord of all righteousness, awaken us. Show us the good path that we may walk in confidence in your wisdom and understanding. Lord of all hospitality, awaken us. Show us the refuge of eagle's wings that we may always be people of shelter in times of storm. Lord of all freedom, awaken us. Show us the courage that called our forefathers out of bondage, that we may always stand with the bound and the oppressed and be their champions. Lord of all peace, awaken us. Show us the heart that stills even raging waters, that we may make still raging hearts, that we may make still raging hearts and reconcile warring neighbors. Lord of all charity, awaken us. Teach us of the unending return of our sacrifice that we may rejoice more fully in our giving. Lord, you have eyes for the just and ears for their cry. Awaken in us a heart of justice that you may count us among their number. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal to Blue Hymnal to page 5. turn to the next page, page 6, and I ask if you can stand with me, please, to sing.
Here in this place, where the light is streaming, how is the darkness vanished away? Seeing this faith, our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of the day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken, gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old, who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the hearty, gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly, give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water, here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters, call us anew to the salt of the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion, give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bone.
Thank you. You may be seated.
You would get those blue hymnals back out, please, and turn to number 711. In the back of the hymnal, number 711. And let us read this together. Jesus taught us to speak of hope as the coming of God's kingdom. We believe that God is at work in our world, turning hopeless and evil situations into good. We believe that goodness and justice and love will triumph in the end, and that tyranny and oppression cannot last forever. One day all tears will be wiped away, the lamb will lie down with the lion, and justice will roll down like a mighty stream. True peace and true reconciliation are not only desired, they are assured and guaranteed in Christ. This is our faith. This is our hope. And if the children would come forward, there's a special story for you.
Thank you. Come on down here, Scarlett. Okay. In the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we learn the first words that God spoke. Do you know what those words are? Do you know what those first words are? Do you think he said, "I love mashed potatoes"? Do you think those were his first words? What do you think? Nah. Okay. What do you think he said? He said, "Let there be... let there be light." Our story today is when God made light. Let there be light. That's what God said. And light began shining and then started to spread. It flickered and dashed, it blinked and it flashed, light poured and light spilled. It bolted and splashed. Light glared and glimmered, it flared and sparked, and wherever light shined, dark stopped being dark. In the beginning, space became bright because God filled it with twinkles of yellowy white. Brilliant stars gleamed, swirls of light streamed. In that once empty space, a galaxy beamed. When God made light, a universe lit up, a dazzling display of big shiny stuff. And all that light, every bright golden hue, is the very same light that God put inside you. Now God made the sun to light up our days, to cover our planet with life-filled rays, to make summers warm and winters not too cold, to help flowers bloom and turn wheat fields to gold, to burst in the morning at the first crack of dawn, to rise up slowly and beam across lawns. And when the sun shines, here's what you should do. Go run and have fun. Play a game, maybe two. Go skipping or flipping or down a slide slipping. Or if it's too hot, in a pool, just go dipping. Dance in the grass. Go climbing in trees. Build castles with sand. Face the wind. Feel its breeze. Eat berries and cherries. In a patch, pick strawberries. Or whistle out loud with a choir of canaries. And once in a while, when the playing is done, look up in the sky and thank God for the sun. And when the light fades and a day ends too soon, wave goodbye to the sun and hello to the moon. Yes, God made the moon to brighten the sky's night, to reflect the sun's shine, to be our world's nightlight. But beneath a dark sky, there are things you can do. Just ask Mom or Dad and a flashlight or two. Raise a tent and go camping or through the woods stamping, romping and stomping on paths made for tramping. Catch fireflies in jars. Go gazing at stars. Try counting and seeing how many there are. See constellations, shapes, and formations. Find a lion or bear and heaven's creations. Now when God made light, God made all different kinds. Some sparkles, some flares, but all light shines. It flashes in bolts when lightning is crashing or bursts through the sky when a comet is dashing. And if you ever feel scared in the darkness of night, remember the shadows are no match for God's light. Climb into bed, sleep soundly and dream, and know that inside you, God's glow is a gleam. 'Cause you're just like the sun and the moon in the sky, as lustrous as twinkles that dazzle the eye. You're as splendid as lightning when it flashes so bright. 'Cause on the day you were born, God said, "Let there be light." So beam like the sun, glimmer like a star, and wherever you go, dark will stop being dark. Shimmer and shine, be a beacon so bright, 'cause when God made you, God made light. So I think the author has some great ideas for fun things we can do to enjoy God's world. One thing he recommends is that we sing out loud with a choir of, do you remember? A choir of yellow birds. What are they? A choir of canaries. Sing out loud with a choir of canaries. Canaries. And what special night light has God given us? The moon. And you know what? If it's not cloudy tonight, look up in the sky because it's a full moon tonight. All right? So we can wave goodbye to the sun and wave hello to the moon. And the author also said you can go camping or stamping or romping or stomping, but you do need mom or dad and a... What else do you need if you're going to go out in the dark? A flashlight. Right. So, after the offering, you can stop and get a flashlight to remind us of God's light and to remind us that shadows are not a match for God's light. Okay? So I'll see you after the offering.
If the kids want to go and each get a mug and then wait for the prayer, and if the ushers would come forward. Okay, let us pray. Generous God, you gave us life. Now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work and play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources, to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sign the registries at the end of the pews.
I'm just looking at those paper coins. Look like they're filling up the basket there. Maybe we could shake it around and see if we could get more paper coins. Some of those are pretty good sized paper coins there. Pencil, there it is. Okay. I have a couple of things to mention to you. First off, would Steve and Angie stand up, please? Little birdie told me this morning. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, a little birdie always told my mom things I didn't want her to know. I never could find that birdie, but if I ever did, I was going to choke it. But little birdie told me that y'all are having an anniversary. It's your 23rd anniversary on Valentine's Day. Now, that's pretty cool, working out on that one. Got out of a dinner that first day, didn't you? Huh? So I thought we ought to say something. Can we do happy anniversary as, I guess, to the happy birthday tune or something? I know Dixie's got one over there. There we go. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear Steve and Angie. Happy anniversary to you. And many more? Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys. Would you like to say something? Now, I also have to say that I was remiss. My fault, I didn't see it. But someone had a birthday last Sunday, and I didn't see it in the bulletin. And that same little birdie told me that I better make up for that one. So, Lisa, would you mind standing up? It was your birthday. You don't want to. I tell you what, everybody else can stand up, and Lisa can sit, and we'll sing Happy Late Birthday to Lisa, okay? Same tune, just a little faster at one point of it. Here we go. Happy late birthday to you. Happy late birthday to you. Happy late birthday, dear Lisa. Happy late birthday to you. All right. Now, I tried not to embarrass anybody, but I'll do my best to not forget anybody the next go round. So you won't feel embarrassed by that. Okay, any other announcements or good things you want to share besides prayer requests? Anybody have something? Faith did get some snow this week, I'm happy to announce. And it was just a small amount, I'm happy to announce. Any others? Anybody have any prayer requests? Wow. Yes. Dawn.
I asked for a prayer for Shira. She is looking good, but she's not feeling good. So she has had a week of staying in the house due to asthma, lung, heart rate is up, and we got her out this morning, but she's not contagious, so nobody needs to worry about that. But after having leukemia, cancer, and being free 10 years, I guess it took a toll on her body, and she has a tough time recovering. So just pray for her this morning that she would find healing in her body. Thank you.
Sure. Any others? Well, then let's come to the Word and to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Morning, God. Thanks for today. Thanks for caring about us. Thanks for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us, more than we can count. Thank you, Lord, that your word says we can come before you and ask things, and know that you hear us. And so we come today on behalf of Shira. We thank you for her recovery to this point. We pray that your healing hands would touch her body and make her whole real soon. There are others in our midst, Lord, who are recovering. Marvette is still at home, and Audra is coming home on Tuesday. Continue to bring healing to their bodies. And Lord, help us as a group of followers of you to find, and come up with people that we can minister your healing to, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or just as a friend. You empower us, Lord, to do your work in this world, and we ask that you would give us boldness and strength to do the things that you want us to do. Thank you, Father, for this time together, for the freedom to gather and worship, and for this opportunity this morning. May our eyes be opened and our hearts be touched, that we might see you in a new and a fresh way. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you could turn in your blue books to page 517. 517. Stand again for the second song in the blue or green, Sing the Journey, page 54. Longing for life. seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms number 119, which is printed in your bulletin. And rather than confusing things by reading from a different version, I'm going to do this one, and I ask you all to read along with me. So if you will turn in your bulletin, Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. John, may you be blessed as you bring us what God has laid on your heart.
Thank you. I was going to say, while you're standing up, take a few moments and visit with folks around you, but you already sat down, so I'll just say, how about standing up and visiting with a few folks around you and say hello and tell them you're glad that they came while I get myself ready up here. Reluctant, but I have a story to tell you. This is a story about a millionaire. And he was in church one time, sort of giving his testimony, as people occasionally do. And he said, when I was a little boy, I made my first dollar. And I intended to frame that dollar and keep it for all time, because it's the first dollar I ever made. And, you know, businesses do that. You'll go into a business sometime and see the first dollar up there or something like that. He said, but the week after I said that, a missionary came by. And he talked about how much the need was where he was and how little resources they had. And he said, I was so moved, I went up and I put that dollar in the plate. He said, it was so hard to give up that first dollar. He said, but as life went on, I realized that God honored me because I gave everything I had. Everything I had, I put in that plate, and God has blessed me immensely. And then there was this little voice from this little lady in the back of the church that said, "I dare you to do it again." All right, well, that was kind of a weak one there. Jeff, I'm never following you again, wherever. You know, we make lots of promises. You ever made any promises? "I'm going to lose weight this year." Well, if you consider all that I gained and then I lost it back to where I started, I really did lose weight this year. I just don't look any different. Or, "I'm going to be better next time." Or, "I'm not going to make that mistake again." You know, we make promises. Everybody kind of does that, I think. And sometimes we keep them and sometimes we don't. This part of the psalm is a story. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It has 176 verses. So if you're behind on your daily Bible reading, you can do this one this afternoon and catch up. Actually, each stanza has 8 verses in it. There are 22 stanzas, which correspond to the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And as you read this passage, you see this is a story. We don't know who the author is. We like to think that David wrote all of the Psalms, and he wrote a bunch of them, but every once in a while somebody else wrote one, and then some, like this one, kind of get lost over history, and so we really don't know who wrote this psalm. But it's clearly written by someone who really loves the Lord. Somebody who's really serious about his commitment to the Lord. We see this person talking to God. And he's talking about his life and some of the things that have happened. You know, I don't know if you realize this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But come the end of this month, I will have been here for 6 months. I like to think if you get a good thing, you kind of take it for granted and forget when it started. But, you know, I can't pat myself on my back with my left arm anyway, so I won't try. But I started talking about taking a journey and how the life is a journey and this church life is a journey. I talked about seeing God at work and seeing the kingdom that's really here, but it isn't here yet. Last time I started talking about footprints, so I'll talk about footprints a little more. And this is a man who kind of epitomizes all of those things in these few little verses. So let's see what he says here. See if we can't make some sense out of this. He starts out by singing that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I said last week that the word light infers not only the notion of truth, but also the notion of providing illumination to go somewhere. And this guy clearly says it's a light for my feet. Where I'm going, what guides me, what guides you? What is it in life that guides you? Some of us are beyond the point where we have to build a career. Some of us have to build new careers because the last one is now over and we'll figure out what we're going to do next. I used to tell my students, you know, you go to college and they tell these 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you need to pick a major because you have to figure out what it is you want to do with the rest of your life. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard something like that. Maybe your parents told you that. And I would tell my students, I said, you know, if you haven't figured out what you want to do with the rest of your life, that's okay. Because I haven't figured out what I want to do with the rest of my life either. And I'm a lot older than you are. And I'll tell you the truth, I still haven't figured out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I know what I'm going to do this week, I think. And I know what I'm going to do in the short run because I sense this is what God is doing. And so I'm going to keep walking down this path, hopefully not slipping on ice and all of those uncomfortable things that happen. But I don't know where I'm going. I just know I'm going. I'm going somewhere with God. And if you were like me, what I planned to do when I was the age of my college students is not what I ever did. And what I did, I never planned on doing. God has a way if we decide to walk with Him, and that's a choice, you don't have to do that. But He has a way of taking that choice and send it in directions that we never thought of. And only when we get to the end of it, can we then say, wow, that was pretty neat. That was pretty interesting. And I know some of you have never moved very far. I believe it was either Glenn or Ken that said they moved about 50 yards in their life. That was a long journey, I tell you. I can't count the yards that I've moved in my life, much less the miles. But when it's over, we can look back and say, wow, wasn't that neat? Because when we choose to walk with God, there's a sense of the mysterious and the magnificence of all that He does. Now, this psalm tells us it's not all roses. He says, verse 6, I've taken an oath. And the oath is, I will follow your righteous laws. Do you ever take an oath on something? Now, I know the Mennonite Anabaptist tradition is that you don't swear an oath in the courtrooms. You simply affirm because your word is supposed to be good enough. But have you ever taken an oath, I will whatever that is? And I don't mean just a thought. I mean a sacred promise. I hope all of you who are married made a sacred promise to your spouse. I hope you promised to do all you could do to make that other person's life wonderful. I hope you promised to love and to cherish that other person. Now, it'd be nice if the other person did the same thing for you. That doesn't always happen, as some of you know, and I found out. But I hope you made that oath, and you keep that oath. I'll tell you a little story. It's really kind of neat, actually. For some crazy reason, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a doctor. I'm not quite sure why, but I thought that's what God wanted. And I worked along in that direction, and lo and behold, some things happened, and I didn't do that. But I had made a promise to God when I was a little boy that if He would allow me, I would use my hands to heal. And then one day, many, many, many years later, after that notion of being a surgeon was gone, and I knew that there was something else God wanted me to do, I found myself in Honduras. We were doing a medical dental trip. Had two docs and two dentists. We traveled to this village, and you know, you can't find it on the map. And it was a place where no docs or dentists had ever shown up before. And one of those docs was my daughter, who is a pediatrician. And my job was to get everything organized, and then after they got the thing organized, I just spent the rest of the week just solving problems and answering questions. They did all the work. I didn't do that. And one day I was just watching how these 8-10 folks set up a clinic that could see 1,000 people in a week with almost no facilities. And it was amazing how that could get created in whatever resources we had to use in the village. You couldn't run to Walmart and pick up something you forgot, for example. We had a full-service pharmacy. We had a treatment room or a small surgical-type room. We had a nursing station. We had examining rooms. We have dentists going to town working on that. And I was just sitting there watching, and I thought, wow, God, this is really kind of neat. I'm so glad you did that. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, take a look at Andy over there. Andrea, I call her Andy, it's my daughter. I said, yeah. She said, he said, I just want to tell you, your oath has been fulfilled. That was really special. My daughter always said that she became a doctor because of me. She didn't become a doctor because her mother was a doctor. I've never understood that part out. But it was, you know, I wasn't doing it, but I was kind of doing it. And God said that my oath had been fulfilled. Oaths are important. There used to be a time in the day when you could take somebody's word as gold. Sometimes that's true today, sometimes it isn't. I like to do business on a handshake. I know in today's world you have to have contracts and you have to do that sort of thing, and I have been accused of being too trusting. But I just think that if somebody promises something, that means something. And it ought to mean something. And it ought to be, as they say, as good as gold. And this psalmist who loves the Lord says here, I have taken an oath, and I will fulfill it. I will follow your ways forever. And then he starts talking like you and me. He says, I've suffered a lot, Lord. And I constantly get myself in spots, verse 9, where my life is in somebody's hands, and the wicked are out there to kind of get me. And you know, there are plenty of people who want to take advantage of you. Always have been, always will be. There are people who want to use you to get what they want. And I believe that while God calls us to love each other, he doesn't call us to be doormats. He doesn't call us to be walked on. But he does call us to do what he says, which is to love and to care. And I think to trust. Unfortunately, too many children have been raised in an environment that wasn't trusting. And it's so hard for people like that to believe that there's a God who really cares about them, because the only ones they know who cared about them as they were growing up didn't. So this psalmist says, you know, God, even though all this stuff has happened, even though these things have happened in our lives, he says in verse 111, your statutes are my heritage, they are the joy of my heart. Think about that for a minute. He's saying that the words of God are the joy of his heart. Now, I'm not talking about this notion of memorizing scripture so you can try to beat Phoebe at the next Bible trivia game. I'm just telling you, forget it. It ain't going to happen. And I'm not talking about memorizing Scripture so I can quote Scripture. There's a difference between doing that and knowing Scripture so that you know God. God wrote the Bible so that we would know Him. God has His words here so that we will know Him. He wants a relationship with you that is beyond your imagination to understand. This psalmist understands that. And so he would say here that they are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. In my academic world, I've taught a course on sociology of aging. And some of the things I've talked about is how as we go through life, we have to learn how to live that stage. I'm at the point where I'm not young. I guess I'm not old. Depends on who we're measuring by, I guess. But I have to learn what it's like to live at this age. And at one point in time, I'm going to have to learn how to die. And good news, you will too. Now, when we think death is the end, that's when we got a big problem. But if we think of death as simply the next step into something much better, that's a different matter. But we have to learn how to do that. And this psalmist says, even when I get to that point, I'm still going to keep my oath to follow you. I kind of thought, my wife thinks I'm crazy. And maybe I am, but I kind of thought I'd like to make a video and preach my own funeral before I die, so that when the funeral comes, you can see it. You know, I got more laughs at that than I did my joke, I guess. I just kind of think that if I want somebody saying something about me, I want to make sure they got it right, so I must do it myself. I don't know if that'll work or not, but I keep thinking it anyway. Maybe one day, if you see me playing around with the video equipment, I'm not dying, I'm just getting prepared or something like that. So the question is, what's in your heart? What are you building? Talked about footsteps. We leave footsteps. People follow in our footsteps. If you are a manager or a boss, you're creating a witness, a picture. You are painting, and I know we got some great painters in here. I keep finding out more and more of them, and Rosie's thinking about how we can somehow celebrate our painters. We got some really good painters in here, and I don't mean painting walls. I mean painting pictures, and I've seen some of them, and they are fabulous. But each one of us is painting our own picture of our life before God and to others. And people look at the canvas of our lives, even when we don't know that they're looking. People measure God, unfortunately, by what they see in us. I've heard it said, you are the only gospel many people will ever see. So where is your heart? What is of most value to you? What oaths have you made? Of course, if you're still working, do the best job that you can. Leave a legacy of that. Olin sitting back there had built houses all over the place. I hear people tell me about houses he built. And I'm rebuilding, Gary's rebuilding one that he built. And we're going to leave a new legacy of a new kind of a place. What kind of a legacy are you leaving? What will your great grandchildren say about you? You may never know. But somewhere, somebody, sometime, is going to say to someone, tell me about your grandfather. Tell me about your dad. Tell me about this other person. And you're going to be the subject of that discussion. What does your life look like? I use the phrase, Lord, help us to make you proud. Not because I think that God's love for us depends on whether we do the right thing or not. It's just, I want to make him proud. When you were a little person, didn't you want to make your parents proud? Don't you think your children want to make you proud? I want to make God proud. I want to get to heaven, and I want to hear God say, "That's my boy." What picture are you painting with your life? No, I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about during the week, with your smile, with your language, with your generosity, with your caring. What are you painting? What footsteps are you leaving? And some of you have longer years to leave them than others do, but we all have them to leave. What is guiding your path? I have a song I'd like us to sing. I'm pretty sure many of you know it. It's an Amy Grant song. And we will join together in singing that. If we ready? I'm ready. If you will. It starts a little low.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing will I fear as long.
Pat will lead us in the doxology. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the life you have given us. Thank you for the blessings that overwhelm our ability to comprehend them. We pray, God, that as we go through this week, your word will guide our steps. We will not fear. We have nothing to fear when you're right beside us. We ask your blessings, God, on those we've mentioned earlier, for your healing hands and your compassionate touch. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. For we ask these things in the mightiest name of the world, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise.